Well, we start a new book today, 1 Corinthians. It follows Romans. And so as we move into 1 Corinthians, Paul knew the Corinthians. He knew them probably better than any of his churches. He had spent a year and a half there at Corinth, and he'd received reports from Coley's household about the different questions concerning behavior within the church. And Paul answers her, and he writes this letter to her, and he gives us insight to the church at Corinth. The Corinth church is noted for its secular thinking, secular ways, but Paul, he writes them a good letter, and we're allowed to see inside of that church, probably better than any church in the New Testament. Paul, in the very first verse, states his authority as an apostle by the will of God to Corinth, and that includes not only Corinth, but it includes all of us Gentiles. And in this first verse, Paul, he's called to be an apostle. The to be is added. It's in parentheses. And he is not called to be an apostle. He is called an apostle by Jesus Christ. Paul is not coming into his apostleship by any popular vote within the church, but he's coming by the authority and will of God. Paul, probably the most dynamic character in the New Testament apart from Jesus. And he doesn't waver in his authority as an apostle. So we get to listen to Paul's letter, read his letter, and it applies to us today as well as it did to the Corinthians. For Paul is speaking to us as believers by the authority of God. Paul does not emphasize that he is the apostle by choice. He will say, some say I'm of Paul, others say he's of Peter and so forth. And Paul, he just takes his position as an apostle to the Gentiles, and he speaks from that viewpoint. And he speaks with authority by the will of God. He doesn't talk about his popularity. In fact, he talks down on his popularity, but he doesn't waver away from he's called by God. We are what we are in Christ by the will of God. It is God who has called each of us to that personal relationship with him, and we are to walk in the will of God in our service to God. Now, I often declare, this is not my church. And many times churches can get to be known by who the pastor is, but I don't care if you know me. We're a church by the will of Jesus Christ. And so we take comfort in that. But the first thought of Paul he lays down in Corinth is his calling to be an apostle. I'm called an apostle. So let's read his opening statements in 1 Corinthians 1 through 3. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a brother talked about here by Paul, Sothenes. He's mentioned in verse 1. And he's also mentioned in Acts 18, verse 17. Sothenes is beaten by the Roman authorities at Corinth because he came against Paul. He came and was saying, hey, this needs to be cleared up. But the Roman authorities don't want to hear about the religious matters, so they take Sothenes and they beat him. And Paul is a Roman citizen, and they're not going to take these accusations against Paul because he's a citizen. And Sothenes is bringing up religious matters, and Rome doesn't want anything to do with the ins and outs of the religious community. Sothenes replaced Crispus, who upon his conversion quit his job as ruler of the synagogue. So Crispus has quit, Sothenes has been converted, and he is now the ruler of the synagogue there at Corinth. Crispus felt that he could not be the ruler of the synagogue as a believer in Christ. So he resigned. He stepped down from his position. But Sothenes, he protested to Rome, the authorities, about Jewish beliefs. But things backfired for Sothenes, and he was beaten by the Roman authorities. Because the authorities of Rome didn't bother to get involved in religious belief systems as a whole. The person who vehemently opposed Paul is now a believer. Sothenes has been converted. He is now a believer. And it's interesting, those who oppose us the most oftentimes become believing allies. Have you ever said there's no hope for that person, they're so vehemently against the Lord, only to see that they get converted and become a saint? Shows the grace of God. But you know, when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one who yelps is the one who's been hit. And Sothenes, he yelped. So listen for the yelps in those who you witness to. They might be the yelps of a future believer. Sothenes, the persecutor, becomes Sothenes, the saint. And that's encouraging to us. And Paul addresses him in the very first verse. And he is a believer by the will of God, the same way Paul is an apostle by the will of God. But Paul, he will continue in verse 4 through 9. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you at the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul thanks God for grace. Grace that has been given to the Corinthians by Jesus himself. Grace that enriched the church there in Corinth in all utterance or speaking, in verbal witnessing. The Corinthians proclaim verbally all the goodness of Jesus in understanding and in knowledge. As believers, We are to be speaking. We are to be witnessing of our testimony and fellowship with Jesus. The world is looking for reality. They don't always say it in those words, but they're looking for truth, they're looking for reality, and who better to give them reality than a believer? We have the truth of Jesus. A couple weeks back, I talked about the rapture, the catching away of the saints. We who are alive will join those dead saints who would go to meet the Lord in the air, and we will join them in the air. And when we meet our Lord, this is to be a glorious testimony. We are to talk about this. Sometimes we shy away from talking to a non-believer about the future that awaits them. We can be hesitant to proclaim what we really believe. We can be a little bit afraid that the believers won't understand us. And there's been a lot of talk, and in particular in today, about the rapture. Now, I've heard all my life about the rapture, but we're still here. We're still with us. And an unbeliever may be curious about the catching away of saints. And we as believers can be looked upon as radicals. But that doesn't change the facts, the truth. The truth is the rapture will come, and it's real. And Paul said, take comfort in it the same way you take comfort in the fact that Jesus died and rose again. That's a core belief. The rapture is to be a core belief. It's to be a solid foundation of our faith. Do not allow the doubting world to silence you. Because if we won't speak up about what's coming forth, who will? Who is to be the witness of Jesus Christ except us, his people? Don't allow the doubting world to silence you or intimidate you into silence. We're the only gospel they will ever see or hear in many cases. You might be the only person that stands between a person and Jesus Christ and the witness of Jesus. So don't be shy or hesitant. The world, many of them have negative beliefs about Jesus, and it blinds them from the reality of the day and the time that we live in. They're oblivious to the day that we live in. And that unbelief by the world, it only confirms that God's word is true. He will return. He will take us up to be with him, and we are to proclaim that. In verse 7, Paul declares, tell the Corinthians and do not hesitate in your witness. He tells the Corinthians, he goes to them, and he declares, he writes them this letter, a letter of addressing some of their concerns and some of their behavior habits. The world, our believing friends or acquaintances, they're really searching for the truth. They may act like they don't hear you or believe you, but that's not our call. We're to give the message and let it sit where it will sit. Oftentimes, the world is not even aware that they're looking for truth. Our Lord Jesus came by the will of God the Father. He came to be salvation for lost people. Lost men and women and children, Jesus came by the will of God the Father. And we have the message of truth. We have a great treasure. So be that messenger boy. Be that witness. Be about the truth. You owe it to those you know. And as Paul declares, be blameless in your witness of the days and times that we live in. I have to admit that I am surprised by the unbelief in some Christians. I read reports that tell me that about one half of confessing Christians do not accept God's word as completely true. And that surprised me. If you don't believe God's word, what do you believe? And I wonder about what they really believe. God is faithful, and he calls us into fellowship with his Son, Jesus our Lord. Now, Paul will get into what has been dividing the Corinthians, and that's in verses 10 through 17. And I'll read it to you. Now, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you who says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am Cephas, or I am of Christ, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I have baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the households of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any others. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Paul says, I don't come to you with arguments about the cross of Christ. I declare the cross of Christ. There was a time in my Christian walk that I wanted to present Jesus as logical, the prudent way to live. Accept Christ. It's the smart thing to do. And the Lord spoke to me and says, I don't need you to defend me, Don. Yeah, okay. I can go with that. Because we try to reason where the Spirit wants to intercede. Give them God's word. God's word does not return void. And Paul here in verse 10, he says, he calls for the church to be united. Calls for it to be perfectly joined together. Paul, he tells the Corinthians, lay aside your opinions that necessarily separate. Now, in the Calvary Chapel movement, we can be nitpickers about doctrine. We can. And we can be stubborn about accepting other opinions that can end up maybe separating us. And if we're not careful, we can allow different opinions to separate us or splinter us as believers. We can look at verses at what makes us a believer, what makes us solid, and we can argue those points. Paul says, well, where do your contentions come from? Where are your opinions perhaps jaded or unfair towards others? And if we're not careful, we can take a prideful look at true biased opinions and situations, and we can find ourselves condemning a brother or sister in the Lord on quote unquote partial information. I can find myself prejudging the behavior of another saint on incomplete information. It could be also an area where I might be particularly oversensitive. We can be sensitive, oversensitive in certain areas. Let the main things remain the main things. Now, if Paul felt the sting of prejudice or biased thinking, we're not immune to it ourselves. We're not immune to wrong opinions that come forth in our practices, in our daily habits. But Paul, he is perhaps the greatest apostle of all time, short of Jesus. And Jesus was an apostle. He was the Lord. And Paul hears some say, "I'm of Paul." That had to grieve him. Others say, "I'm of Apollos." Others taking the opinion of Cephas or Peter as more fitting, more to their liking. And some say, "I'm not of any man, but I'm of Christ," which is to say, the other apostles are meaningless. So Paul asks, is Christ divided? He's saying, I have just listed some esteemed leaders within the Christian church. And then Paul asks a rhetorical question about what the church practices. Were any of you baptized in my name? Paul didn't want to be known as the baptizer. He wanted to be known as proclaiming Jesus, the way of salvation. Lori showed me an article where there's a debate within the Catholic Church right now over the words they use when they baptize. If you say, "We baptize you," that's wrong. You can't say "we," you've got to say "I." If I baptize you. And it's a big separation within the Catholic Church. And when I baptize, I say, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," and so forth. But to have a debate over the wording of baptism is foolishness, in my opinion. Paul, but he answers his own question. He says, "I only baptize Crispus and Gaius." And he's taking care not to baptize anyone in his name. Baptism is a foundational practice. We are to believe and be baptized. And Paul doesn't want that doctrine of baptism to be an item of dissension. And he clears the air and he makes a statement. "God did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Did Paul have the authority to baptize? I think he did. But Paul says, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. I don't want anything to take away from that I preach salvation through Jesus. Offenses, if they came to Paul, they're going to come to us. We will offend. I hate to say it, but if I haven't offended you, hang around, I will. And I don't like to offend. I want to be loved like everybody wants to be loved and so forth. But I'd honestly try to be scriptural in my sermons and my stance. But I do realize offenses will come. I know that my behavior is not always going to be understood. But that comes with the position that I have as a pastor. So Paul calls us, he says, come to the Lord in understanding. And he calls for grace to be extended, not only to him, but to Apollos and Peter and everyone else who proclaims Jesus. Now, we all have traits that may offend others. We do. We come down on the side of something, and anytime you come down on the side of something, you got to realize you're probably offending those on the other side. So I'm not without faults. They're just minimal. And we all can be misunderstood. Even the Apostle Paul is misunderstood. I honestly try to be scriptural in my sermons, in my behavior. So bear with me and let us bear with one another, lest we become divided. And that's the whole message of Paul here in these first 17 verses. Do not be divided. Look upon what you have in common with a fellow believer and rejoice in the fact that they agree with you on major doctrine. Major in the majors. Let God be God. He's very capable. Amen? Amen. Let's have you stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, thank you, Lord, for being forthright. Your word is plain. Your word is pure. And Lord, we want to be rightly dividing your word. We want to be about you and your kingdom. And as Paul said, he wants to be known for preaching Jesus Christ and salvation in him. He didn't want to be known for baptizing. He didn't want to be known for being the traveling apostle who taught and so forth. He wanted to be known that he taught Jesus as the way of salvation. And Lord, let that be our goal. Let us be about you. There's too many things that we agree on to be looking at what we don't agree on, Lord. So help us. Help us to love one another, not to prejudge one another, but help us to be about you and your kingdom, Jesus. We are blessed people to know you. We're a blessed people to have you as our Lord and Savior. And let that be the foundation of our lives. And let it be the witness that we live before others, that we're about you and your salvation. So we thank you for that. Be with us, strengthen us, give us wisdom in our dealings with one another. And we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.